Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Who creates the church? Christ. And he sends his one spirit to us, that we are all, Jews or Gentile, Paul says, baptized into the one body of Christ.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Throughout biblical history, we see God working in the lives of his chosen people of Israel. But now that Jesus the Messiah has come and offered salvation to all, what does this mean for the Jewish nation? Today, we learn from Paul how Israel will continue to play a vital role in God's purposes. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe as he continues in Romans with part two of a message titled, Israel's Unbelief.
Today, our focus continues to be on the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. The Apostle Paul is going to explain that although Israel has largely rejected the Messiah, their unbelief is not total. There always is a believing remnant. Also, their unbelief is not without a purpose, as the present rejection of the Messiah has led to countless Gentiles being brought to faith in Christ. In this passage, Paul uses the metaphor of an olive tree. He describes believing Jews as the natural branches and the Gentiles as the wild branches who are grafted into the olive tree. So listen, as we learn of the amazing purposes of God as he works in the life of Jew and Gentile.
One of the principles of Scripture, that when God speaks to you, when you hear the Word of God and the Spirit convicts you, don't harden your heart. If you do that, you will go deeper and deeper into darkness. I've seen that with people who refuse the truth, who pay lip service to it, and they go into further and further darkness. So what's Paul saying in these opening verses? There's always been a believing remnant in Israel. They have stumbled, but they have not completely fallen. And now in verses 11 through 24, Paul says that Israel's unbelief is not without a purpose. Now this is magnificent. You think of the wonder of the purposes of God. You've maybe never thought of this. Paul is going to say something very, very profound, that the salvation of Gentiles, non-Jews, provokes Israel to jealousy. Let's read it, verse 11 through 15, first of all. So I ask another question, Paul. What's your question this time? Did they stumble in order that they might fall? They've stumbled, no question, but did they fall? By no means, absolutely not. Rather, here's a purpose. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I'm speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Isn't that brilliantly argued by Paul? Paul's wanting us to think that Israel's unbelief is only temporary. Yes, it has stumbled. But a final fall for Israel is unthinkable. And God uses their trespass. He uses their rejection, their stumbling, to bless Gentiles. And believing Gentiles like ourselves provoke Jews to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Israel has rejected the Messiah, but this rejection has been the occasion of the salvation of Gentiles. Turn with me a few pages back in your Bible to Acts. We'll see this. Acts chapter 13. You're in Romans, a few pages back. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, here it is, note this. I have it underlined in my Bible. It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. When Jesus came, where was he born? Israel. Who received the message first? Israel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jew first. That's what Paul is saying. It was spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Chapter 18, verse 5. Here's Paul in Corinth. Acts 18, verse 5. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word. We saw this last time, that the church grew through the word. Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own head, I'm innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Chapter 28 of Acts, the last chapter of Acts. Acts 28, I'll just read from verse 28. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation to God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. It comes first to the Jews. The Jews, generally speaking, reject it, and the gospel then goes to Gentiles. And as it goes to Gentiles, Paul is saying, this in turn provokes Israel to accept salvation. And in the future, did you notice in verses 12 and 15, in the future, when all Israel receives the Messiah, their full inclusion, there will be even greater riches to the whole world, both Jews and Gentiles, life from the dead. Yes, the dry bones of Israel that Ezekiel talks about in Ezekiel 37, yet shall live. So, God has certainly not rejected Israel. Some of them are still being saved, verse 14. Also, Israel's present stumbling and the rejection of the Messiah are not without purpose. Don't you find this fascinating? That one of the ways, even today, that God brings Jews to saving faith is through Gentile believers. Sometimes people think, well, I'm not Jewish. I can't present the gospel to Jewish people. Yes, you can. Two or three years ago, Goodney and I were on a cruise, and sitting at our table, there were a number of people, and we found out, there was eight of us, that at least two of the couples were Jewish. And so we began to speak, and sooner or later they say, what do you do? And they either smile or they think, oh, is there another table that we could get? And there was a man, maybe a year or two older than me, and he was a physician in Boston. I asked him, what was his specialty? He told me. He was head. He was very high up in it. They mentioned, his wife happened to mention, that they were staying in the presidential suite on the boat. We were not in the presidential suite. They were in the presidential suite. So I'm sure very, very wealthy, very successful, and very charming people with a wonderful conversation with them. And as we talked about our faith, quite openly, he was sitting opposite me, and with tears in his eyes, this Jewish man, very successful, professional physician, said to me, John, I wish I had what you had. I wish I had your faith. What am I doing? I'm a Gentile. And I'm talking about the Messiah. And I'm saying to him, what's your hope when you die? Because he was talking as a physician, he deals with death all the time. And he had no answer. And he was saying, I wish, I want that. I want that, he said, I want that. And a great example, isn't it? not just with Jewish people, but with any unbeliever, of how we as the people of God respond when there's suffering and death. Jews then can place their faith in the Messiah as their personal savior. Don't think that only Jewish believers can witness to Jews. But this means we must be Christ-like, isn't it? Including the way we minister and the way we conduct ourselves to Jew and Gentile. I love when I hear some of your stories, as I've heard over the years, when one of you comes to saving faith in Christ and the difference it makes in your home and the difference it makes in the way that you work and how it transforms your relationship and others look at you and all that they would say over and over again, I wish I had what you had. How is it that you can continue in the face of such difficulties and problems? And we can say it's all of the grace of God. Verses 16 through 24, Gentile Christians share in the blessings of Israel. Now, as I read this, we're going to go through this very quickly. You'll read of natural branches. You'll read of the wild olive shoot. And you'll read of the nourishing root. What do these mean? Verse 16, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So don't become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God, this is magnificent, isn't it? God has the power to graft them in again. Praise God. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Do you follow that? He's using the metaphor of the olive tree. What's the natural branches? The natural branches are the Jewish people. The unbelieving ones have been broken off. The majority of Israel, as it were, has been cut off from the olive tree because of their unbelief. They're no longer in the place of blessing. The natural branches, verse 21, represent unbelieving Israel. But there are, in the olive tree, there are still some uncut natural branches. Remember, Israel's hardening. Israel's rejection of the Messiah is only partial. Some of the natural branches are still part of the olive tree, their own olive tree. Only some, verse 17, only some of the branches were broken off. Now, in place of the cut off natural branches, the Jewish people, a wild olive shoot has been grafted in. Who are the wild olive shoots? Gentiles, we are. These branches which are grafted in are believing Gentiles who then partake, verse 17, of the nourishing root of the olive tree. What's the nourishing root of the olive tree? Think of the blessings of the everlasting and unconditional Abrahamic covenant. The central and unifying factor in Israel's future is the Abrahamic covenant. It is so important in Scripture for our understanding, Old Testament, New Testament, and in the future. Listen to Genesis 12, the call of Abraham, right back at the beginning. Genesis 12, verse 3, here's the promise. I'll read from verse 2, rather. promise to Abraham, I will make of you, Abraham, a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, here it is, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Not just Israel, but all of the families of the earth are blessed. That we, through faith in Jesus Christ, are grafted in to the olive tree. Universal blessings. Here's my little granddaughter, 6 years old. I said, tell me about Abraham. And she said, look at all of the stars. These are the people that God is blessing. The Abrahamic covenant. Children understand it a little bit, do you? Notice what Paul is saying. Believing Jews and believing Gentiles are part of the same olive tree. Paul is making it very, very clear that we who are Gentiles must never forget that our spiritual heritage is Jewish. Can I say very importantly, followers of Jesus can never be anti-Semitic. Do you remember? Alan Dershowitz, Jewish professor from Harvard, writes, no nation is hated as much as the Jewish, yet over the last 60 years, no nation in the world has contributed more per capita to the general welfare of the people of this planet than Israel. 6 million of them slaughtered in the Holocaust. Do you know the percentage of the world population that's Jewish? How many Jewish people do you think there are worldwide in percentage? I'll tell you, 0.2%. That's small. But think of their influence. And I read more than a quarter of Europeans, this is a CNN recent report, just out, a quarter of Europeans believe Jews have too much influence in business and finance. One third of Europeans said Jews were too influential in political affairs around the world. And CNN's recent investigation concludes that anti-Semitism is alive and well across Europe. Anti-Jewish hate crimes in 2017 in our own country increased by 60%. The president of Iran at an Islamic Unity conference in Tehran called Israel a cancerous tumor. See how relevant the Bible is. And you see that we are informed not just by the whims of some political party or some emotion, but by the word of God. It is important to understand that we Gentiles don't have a separate set of blessings from Israel, but share in these blessings, although we remain Gentiles. We are grafted in to the place of blessing. And so in the present age, the church age, believing Jews and believing Gentiles, we enjoy the same blessing. Why? Because we're one in Christ. So in the church today, there's not a Jewish church and there's not a Gentile church. In Jesus Christ, the barrier between Jew and Gentile is abolished. It is the wonder of the grace of God that in all of our diversity, we are the church of Jesus Christ. Because the blood that saved me is the same blood that saved you. And Paul is saying here, now you Gentiles, don't boast, don't be arrogant. The last thing you should be is arrogant over Jews because you're believers and you think they're unbelievers. Absolutely not. That is not the way to go, he is saying. And the fact that Gentiles participate, the fact that Gentiles participate in some of the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant does not mean that Gentiles have supplanted Israel in God's program. No. We must make a very clear distinction between Israel and the church. The church is separate from Israel. What is the church? The church began not with Abraham. The church began in Acts 2 with the ascension of our Lord Jesus into heaven and the sending of the Holy Spirit. Who creates the church? Christ. And it is created by, please note, the incarnate Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, and he sends his one Spirit to us, that we are all, Jews or Gentile, Paul says, baptized into the one, what? The one body. Think of this. Paul's favorite description of the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. That's a remarkable description, isn't it? And it sets apart the church from Israel. And Paul is saying that the unbelief of the Israelites of Israel will not last forever. The belief is only temporary. It's only partial, it's only temporary. And there is going to come a day when the natural branches are going to be grafted back into their own olive tree. Verse 24. No, Israel. God has not rejected Israel. Israel has a wonderful and a glorious future, as we shall see. The dry bones will yet live. We, as the people of God, we love the Jewish people. We love Israel. That's not to say that everything that present-day Israel does is right, but they have a right to be in the land that God has given them, and that the Lord is not finished with Israel. Her unbelief is not final. All Israel will be saved. We've covered a lot today. I have two questions for you. Number one, are you communicating the good news to Jews and Gentiles? You say, well, the Jewish people I know don't want to hear it. That may be true. Most Gentiles who are unbelieving don't want to hear it. But by your life, and as God opens the doors to tell them about a Messiah, what a wonderful opportunity we have to reach out to people, whoever they are, all nationalities, to share Christ so that they will see the grace of God manifested in the body of Christ. My second question is this. Have you received His grace? Are you saved by His grace? It's tragic to try and work out your own salvation. The scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Father, we thank you that you're a mighty God, mighty to save Jew and Gentile. And we are humbled as we think of the wisdom of God and the power of God revealed in the gospel and your magnificent plan, which includes the whole world, so that you will have mercy on all, Jew and Gentile. For such a Savior, for such a plan of salvation, we thank you. May we humbly respond and by our very lives demonstrate that we belong to Jesus. Strengthen us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and conclusion of a message titled, Israel's Unbelief. Now, as we continue our study in the book of Romans, I want to tell you about the exclusive resource we're offering our listeners. It's a guidebook created by John, packed with insightful content and interactive resources designed to supplement each of these daily lessons. You'll find historical context, personal devotions, and questions for you and your family. It's called Romans, The Defense of the Gospel, and it's free to download or request by mail. Just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict to request your copy. There, you can also get our previous Romans study guides for chapters 1 through 8. And while you're online, don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list to stay up to date on the latest ministry news. Again, that's calvarychurch.com/theverdict. As we close today, consider making your own impact in the lives of other listeners by helping us share these daily messages from God's Word. Our ministry relies on the generous donations of fellow believers who share our passion for sharing the gospel. You can send your gift of any amount by going to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. You can also join our community on social media. We're excited to announce that The Verdict now has its own Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter accounts. Just search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Isn't this a fascinating passage about Israel? God is at work in the world in unbelievable ways. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, true salvation is found in receiving Jesus, the Christ, as your Savior and Lord. It is true, the gospel came to the Jew first, but now everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today, call upon the name of the Lord. Love Israel. Pray for the peace of Israel. And join me next time as we think of the future of Israel.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.